Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anybody has any audible devices, cell phones, any other thing that will make noise, please silence them now. This is not to disrupt the rest of this meeting. If you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next up is item number 3, this is discussion of possible action, approval of the agenda for May the 21st, 2019. We have a couple of changes to make to today's agenda. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. We ask if you can remove item 11, that is the noxious weed presentation. We talked to the Department of Ag, they'll give that at a later date. We're asking that you continue two additional items to the June 4th meeting. Those items are a consent agenda 5I and regular agenda number 36. They are first and second reading business license, respectively.
We'll continue those.
Yeah, I think that'd be 5 Roman numeral 1.
Okay, 5 Roman numeral 1.
And item 36. Okay. Continue those to the next regular scheduled meeting, June the 4th?
Correct.
June 4th.
And temporary licenses will be issued in accordance with policy, so there will be no delay to those companies.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Is there a public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve with those changes.
I'll move to approve the agenda, today's agenda, with taking the consent agenda and moving it to the next regular scheduled meeting. Also, item number 11 will be removed from the agenda for the day, and we'll also continue item number 36 to the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Very good. Got a motion, got a second.
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for April the 16th, 2019. Any public comment regarding the minutes? Hearing none, a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve today's minutes.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion
carries unanimously. Okay, moving along now to the item number 5, which is today's consent agenda, noting that item Roman number 1 is already going to continue to June the 4th. So any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moving to second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 6, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing at this time, thank you.
King Jerry. All right, Mike North then.
Nothing today, sir.
Nothing today. All right. Director of IT, James Dean.
Nothing, James, for sharing with
me. Thanks, James. Over at Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Nothing to report to James, for sure.
Okay. Director of Tourism, Denny Dotson. All right. Very good. County Fire Marshal, Martin Azevedo.
Nothing
to report. Right now. Okay. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Nothing.
All over at the Story County Senior Citizen Center. Stacy York, is it York now? Nothing today, Stacy? Okay. Congratulations, Stacy.
Thank you.
All righty. Director of HR, Planning, Austin Osborne.
Nothing, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Did I miss anybody in the gallery?
I don't think so, sir.
Okay. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager, Pat Whitten.
Well, I hate to break the trend, but as you may have noticed on the drive-in today, Public Works and Mike, I'm going to ask you to give a big thanks to the team. The bracing on the north wall of the Delta is now done. And I checked with the engineer yesterday. We were cleared to go ahead and move the K-rail as close to the braces as possible and eliminate what we were referring to as a shrapnel fence. And hopefully I haven't actually looked at it. I came in from a meeting in Carson this morning with an appointment. But we're hopeful we have enough room for one lane traffic, and we'll get signage to that effect up until the rest of the Delta is remedied. And then through my error, I forgot to catch this, we had committed, I think at Vice Chairman Gilman's request, that we would continually have on there the opportunity to at least chat and receive updates on the Justice Court. We just yesterday with Mr. Loomis, Chairman McBride, and myself sat down with the potential sellers and began to discuss terms, timing, those types of things. So while it's not a done deal yet, we are still hoping that it proceeds. Any questions?
For Pat? Okay. Thank you, Pat. County Clerk, Ms. Stevens. Okay.
You have Hugh and Jennifer.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And from the Comptroller's office, Mr. Gallagher?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chair. Thank
you. Out of sight? Was out of mind?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. That will conclude our committee and staff reports. Bringing us up, next item on our agenda is item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action in public comment. I'll start at the far end of the table here with Commissioner Carmona.
Nothing at this time.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Vice Chairman, Mr. Gilman?
Yes, sir. Just a quick report. I had an opportunity to attend the NACO meeting up in Spokane last week. It was a 5-day session. We had BLM there, and Fish and Wildlife, and many of the federal agencies. We had a lot of discussions on the lands bill and what might be anticipated in the future for that. We worked with endangered species and how that might affect Nevada and our counties, and we talked a great deal about the president's programs to help deregulate the nation, and quite a lot of reporting. They're having a great deal of success. And then we had a couple of sessions on federal grants and federal assistance programs that could come out and be of benefit. And there's one particular program I want to share with the community that I thought might, for Story County, be very successful. There's a loan program. And the loan program is primarily focused on seniors, 62 years of age or more. And it's possible, and now we're actually looking at this bill and how to introduce it to the general public, but it's possible to get up to a $20,000 loan for anyone 62 years of age or older at 1% to upgrade the homes in the county with any safety issues, whether it be access or safety planning, fire. So I think that there might be a broad use here in Story County, seeing as how our county is aging. And I think there are probably a few homes here in Virginia City that could use a $20,000 upgrade at 1%. So we're looking at that seriously. And it's a little-known opportunity, but that's the advantage of going to some of these recording events from the federal side. There are programs out there that are to be found. So it was an interesting meeting and enjoyed it. A lot of information there.
Yeah. That's great, Lance. Thank you. These NACO conferences are just a wealth of information.
Yes.
They're terrific. All right. What do I have today? This last weekend, although the weather was a little adverse, we went ahead and had another special event in Virginia City, the annual chili cook-off. Saturday was a terrific day. The weather was a little bit better. The town was overflowing with customers, so I think the merchants did pretty well. Sunday was a little bit iffy because the weather was off and on between snow pellets and wind and that, but still a pretty good crowd. And anyway, everybody always enjoys a good chili cook-off. I was fortunate enough to be asked to be a judge and to go ahead and be able to judge this event and taste that many different chilies and all of them be just terrific. It's a really difficult task. So I hope I get invited back again next year. Last Friday in the industrial park, I was joined with by Commissioner Carmona and Austin Osborne and Joe Starnes from Fire Marshal's office here for a groundbreaking down there for the Berkeley Corporation. We poached another Southern California company, and they're going to be opening up in the industrial park. United Construction is the contractor, builder, designer. This is one of the few companies that Northern Nevada Development Authority has brought to us. Most everything comes from EDON, but anyway, our partners in Carson City have brought us that business. And it wasn't as well attended because the weather was a little bit iffy out there, but we did get a little bit of media coverage out there. This is a great company. They're a green company, and what they do is they recycle cardboard, and they produce a product that when you get a new computer or a printer, you'll have that the casing that comes in, if it's not styrofoam, it's kind of a cardboard, like an egg carton crate, and that's what they manufacture there. They do the whole process, and they anticipate being up within a 12-month period there. So they have bought a lot of property, so they're going to build out an 80,000-square-foot facility with plenty of room to grow. So we welcome them to that family. It's a family-run business. We welcome that family to Story County and wish them the best of luck. So moving along now, we're going to get into the good details of today's meeting. This is going to be the final budget hearing. And we're going to move to item 8 now, which is to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board. Next up is 9, discussion of possible action on the second reading of the off-sale liquor license at the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market, 430 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicant is Candace Pitts, Sheriff Antonaro.
I did send an email out late yesterday afternoon. We were waiting for the last minute items that did finally come in so we could not continue this again. That being said, we've been through the whole investigative package. There's no reason that we have found that they would be precluded from holding a license, and they've been operating under a temporary license since the first reading, so they appear to be following all the rules and regulations. We would recommend approving.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding this item? And I don't believe that Commissioner Gilman or myself hold a an off-sale liquor license. I don't think there's any disclosures to be made today.
I think you're fine.
Okay. All right. No public comment. If we can get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the second reading of the off-sale liquor license for the Sugarloaf Motel, or Mountain Motel and Market, 430 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Candace Pitts.
Right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded to approve the second reading of the off-sale liquor license for Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries. This time we're going to recess as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. And we've removed item 11, which will move us on to item number 12. For discussion of possible action, approval of resolution number 19-538 between Story County and the Nevada Rural Housing Authority, NRHA, for the transfer of Story County's 2019 private activity bond volume cap to the NRHA and other matters relating thereto. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Bill Brewer. I'm the Executive Director for Nevada Rural Housing Authority. Appreciate this opportunity to visit with the Commission and appreciate your time this morning. We began our single family program way back in 2006. Over the course of those intervening years, we've helped over 8,100 families over the state of Nevada and spent about $1.6 billion in mortgages to those families. Right here in Story County, we've assisted 83 homeowners with over $15 million in mortgages. And so the bond cap that the county has contributed to Nevada Rural Housing Authority has gone a very long way over those years. Last couple of years, the county's had other use for that bond cap, and that's Jim Dandy. We want the county to use the cap as it sees most appropriate. If the county doesn't have another use for that cap, we'd sure appreciate the opportunity to have it transferred to NRHA. We pool that cap and use it to fund our mortgage credit certificate program. That program allows a prospective homeowner who qualifies up to about $1,000 direct tax credit off of their income tax bill. That, in effect, gives them additional income to be able to afford a little more house or to ease the pain of the mortgage payment for them. So that credit is very helpful to us in helping to qualify families for homes. Now, the transfer of the bond cap doesn't create any obligation on the part of the county, and it should be pretty clean. Be glad to answer any questions if you have any.
Are you able to utilize the maximum amount of the bond cap every year?
The maximum amount that we can receive, yes. And so as we go about, we go to all the counties and cities throughout rural Nevada, and we get, depending on what's going on in the state, we get about $25 to $30 million each year, and we're able to use all of that in our MCC program. Yes.
Very good. I think you might be in luck here again this year. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Staff's recommendation?
Definitely to approve the transfer, and to thank Bill and his great team for all their work and their kind understanding over the past couple of years. We worked with business and industry on a couple of companies out in Troy, but it's good to have Bill back and good to be back with him. Right? Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Okay, Bill. You got a motion to approve?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Lance Gilman, motion to approve resolution number 19-538 between Story County and the Nevada Rural Housing Authority, NRHA, for the transfer of Story County's 2019 private activity bond volume cap to the NRHA and other matters relating thereto.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved to second to approve resolution 19-538. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you, Mr. Bird.
Thank you very much.
Moving along now to item number 13 for discussion of possible action regarding submission of application to the Bureau of Land Management for public access right-of-way across BLM land near the intersection of Perry Ranch Road and Mustang Road. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. There was a piece of land that's owned by the Bureau of Land Management near the intersection of Mustang Road and the Perry Ranch Road. There used to be a public access easement crossing that in the location of the Perry Ranch Road, but that easement was specific to David Burgess and was not assignable. So with his having left, there is not now a public access across that Bureau of Land Management property. This has been a problem for the international investments that when they've approached the county and asked the county to go ahead and apply for that public access easement at the location of the Perry Ranch Road. And the Perry Ranch Road, as far as we know, the rest of it is not there's no deeded easements for public access across the rest of that. We've approached Mr. Lepery and Mr. Pirano about obtaining a public access easement to the rest of that roadway, but that is not yet occurred. this is just the first step in the process of getting a public access easement. I've set out three potential motions. I know that Mr. Lepery and Mr. Perano object to the first proposed motion. They don't want the public access easement being conditioned upon obtaining the rest of a public access easement across Perry Ranch Road. Mr. Perano is here. I don't know if he has anything he wants to add to this or not.
Okay. Mr. Perano, would you like to come up and speak? I need you, sir. I need you to come up to the podium so that we can get you on tape. Get your testimony transcribed. Thank you. Can you go ahead and identify yourself for the record?
Yeah, I'm Dante Perano, and I'm one of the owners, the majority owner, actually, of the Perry Ranch property. We're in negotiations right now on the location of the road and how the road's going to be put in because the current location doesn't coincide with FEMA. So Richard Bunting from Road and Highway is working with us right now and looking at punching the road through. But what we're saying at this point is if we get the application into BLM, that's part of the puzzle. So it goes from the bridge to Perry Road, and then what we'll do is we're going to negotiate from that Perry, where it touches Perry Road, all the way to the school. But we're not there yet. We're still working on it. So what we're saying is we think that item 2 or item 3 would be more appropriate for an approval at this point. And then item 1 will come in later once we have settled on where the road's going to go and who's going to do what and everything else.
And let me add that I've discussed this with the BLM. And they said, and I've explained the situation to them, they've said that if they go ahead and approve this process, they will offer it to the county. The county doesn't have to accept it at that point. They will leave it open for a period of 30 days, and if we don't accept it, then they will close their file, and that will be the end of it. There is apparently some ability to extend that 30-day deadline if we tell them we're in the process of working with international investments to get the rest of that right away. But this is not the end of the road.
Okay. Also, I see you've come up. Do you want to weigh in on this?
I'm waiting to see how your conversation is.
Okay. Are you familiar with the location down there, Lance?
Okay. Yes, very much so.
I'm not so much, so I don't know. I was wondering if you'd weigh in on it and give us your perspective on this.
I definitely think it would be in our interest to obtain a right-of-way across the BLM property for the county. I think that we need to get that portion of business behind us. As far as the second motion, 1, 2, and 3, I'm open to working with the developer if that is going to benefit the right-of-way. But we do need to see a right-of-way completely through to the Hillside Elementary School. So I would be in favor of supporting as long as we are going to see the right-of-way extended.
If I may, and I'm going to ask Austin to jump in. As far as location, Mr. Chairman, this is the bridge over the truck deal on the Dump Hall Road. Okay. So the area that we're talking about is in here. If you can picture the old, I believe it was Mustang 2, the newer Mustang Ranch, which was operated by Concordia and the Feds. This is the area that you're in. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, Keith, you're recommending the first. Give me a second here. You're recommending the motion, the first motion, and Mr. Crono is looking for either the second or the third motion on this. Is that correct?
I am leaving it. I'm not making a recommendation on this. I'm leaving it totally up to the board.
Okay, so I'm going to look at Austin now because
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record, planning director. Keith has done an amazing job help guiding us through all of this. Without going into a lot of discussion about the conversations that have gone on between Mr. Pirano, Mr. Lappery, and our staff, we would recommend the first recommendation. In this case, it allows the county to proceed forward on doing exactly what's in front of us, and then it helps work with the folks that own the properties to get what we have talked about doing on the Perry Ranch area. That road between what we're looking at here and Hillside Elementary, the property owners have expressed discussion with us in coming up with a potential future easement for that for public use, and the county would in turn then do things that would help the property owner in there, and ultimately the whole community would benefit from a thoroughfare, you know, a road that connects Mustang over to the west side of Lockwood. I think Mr. Loomis had explained that if you go with the B option, that we still can continue those negotiations, and at this point the county could still may or may not adopt or accept the easement. But we feel the first one provides a little bit of an encouragement from both parties to begin that process of getting this in place. That's our recommendation.
Okay, because, I mean, we're tasked with making the best decision for the county as a whole, and at the same time, we want to work with our property owners as well, right?
And I want to be forthcoming that the property owners expressed dissatisfaction with the first recommendation.
You have anything to weigh in with, Jay, on this?
I know the folks down in Lockwood would greatly appreciate access on that road.
So does the fire district.
You know, it appears to me, Marshall, that the access to that road has been in use for as long as I'm aware of the easement rights. It has been used by the public up to that point. I think it's important that we work with a developer that owns the property, and they are working their due diligence through with our planning division. But I think a commitment to have that road way through there is important to the county and to continue that. So I'm inclined to support motion one because I think it's all-encompassing for the outcome.
Now, if we were to approve motion one, that doesn't go ahead and change anything about working with the developer going forward, right?
Doing
what they want to do, punching in a new road.
It allows our planning department to work with them and putting a new through road. They can certainly adjust the easement or the right of way as they move forward on the project. And I haven't looked at a project plan at this point, but all we're asking for here is a grant from the BLM through a small piece of the easement that is going to be required in order to implement the entire access. So I think it's important that we move forward and make the request to the BLM. Yes, sir.
Okay.
May I speak, Mr. Chairman, commissioners? Fortunately in this, there's some back and forth going on with the property owner, but really I believe it's semantics that are the things that we're working through. I believe that both the developer and the county have the same ultimate goal, is to create that road through some alignment that allows the developer to develop, allows him to comply with FEMA floodplain requirements and some other matters. It's just a matter of how we structure that whole thing together that we're having some discussion on. I'm pretty confident that we'll ultimately reach a mutually agreeable decision on this that will benefit everybody.
All right.
I'm assuming that, Austin, if this doesn't identify an easement that they must grant today, that it is in the works, if you will, and it's part of the planning process. They're merely committing that there will be an easement granted to the county through there, along with the project, I suppose.
Correct, and all those details are then to be worked out with the property owner.
Well, I think that's a proper outcome.
Okay. Would you like to make public comment on this item today? Ms. Bart?
Nicole Bart, Stewart County resident. Did anybody reach out to the Lockwood community about this? Because I brought it to their attention, and they made the comment of, if the traffic comes through where the established pattern is, which is in front of Hillside, in front of the senior center, and out that bridge can't hold the load of the kinds of trucks they assume will be coming through, and said that those trucks will have to get diverted in front of the firehouse to that bridge and go over it. So my question here is, in doing this, even bringing it to the commission, was that community consulted or brought in on this for their thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, both Austin and I have been down to meetings with the Lockwood Community Corporation. There is an easement going from, there used to be an easement going from the Canyon Way Bridge over to the Hillside Elementary School. That easement was lost back in about 1970 or so, and the property was subsequently deeded to the Lockwood Community Corporation by the IRS as a result of a forfeiture action that occurred. So we, both Austin and I, have been down to the Community Corporation to discuss the re-granting of that easement back to the county so that there be public access all the way across there. And what we have discussed with them is that if they are inclined to grant the easement, that they can put some restrictions on what type of use can be made of that roadway, because it is a 25-foot wide roadway that goes through a basically a mobile home park. And we've advised them that at one point we had a business impact study through Mike Northen to see if we could put a no truck zone in there, and that's been done. We have a resolution to submit to the county to establish a no truck zone there, if that's the inclination of the board. But we have been discussing that with the Lockwood Community Corporation. They're aware of it. Austin had a meeting with them day before yesterday, and we went further on that. If you want to add anything,
I think Mr. Lomas explained it pretty well. I think there and our concerns are shared with the LCC that there would be truck traffic going westbound during regular days. Our concerns are with the LCC that during road closures at Interstate 80, that all truck traffic and vehicle traffic going through there may or has occurred. We believe that putting this easement in place, working with the LCC, would allow them to put restrictions on that property, the size of vehicles, the types of vehicles, the speed, et cetera, and that would allow, and I'm speaking more looking at Keith, allow us to enforce those regulations on that stretch of road, but also allow the county to use funds to improve portions of that road, the Perry Ranch segment. And then what we're talking about on the agenda today for the east segment, if all of those conversations work out, in addition to this BLM access easement, would allow LEPRI and other uses to divert truck traffic to Mustang Road indefinitely, thus solving this problem.
Did that answer your question?
As long as, because when I brought this to the attention of the people I know in Lockwood last Thursday, Friday, whenever it was, they didn't know that this was on here, and they didn't know that there was the effort for the easement. Well,
everybody attends these meetings that are scheduled down there either. So,
there was a community-wide meeting that they didn't go to?
The meeting was involving the General Improvement District and the LCC, and they are working with their folks right now on all those details.
Okay.
And then ultimately a plan and Keith would as well to go down to the full LCC board and discuss it. And Keith, I believe you actually had time to meet with the full LCC board, and this was brought up.
I did meet with the LCC board, and there was public participation in that board meeting. It was your election, general membership.
I think it's important to remember we're in the planning stage at this point, so having the easement is important to get from BLM, and then we have the ability to move forward with planning and the conditions that the road would
So the community can get involved.
Applied to, yes.
Okay.
All right.
We're just looking at the BLM at this point.
Very good. All right. Additional public comment? All right. Hearing none, it's been the staff's recommendation that we accept motion number one. So that's the board's pleasure to ask for a motion.
I'll do the motion. I, Lance Gelman, Commissioner, move to approve the submission of an application to the BLM for public access right-of-way across BLM land near the intersection of Perry Ranch Road and Mustang Road, which such submission is to be conditioned upon International Investments, Inc. deeding a relocatable public access easement along the length of the Perry Ranch Road up to the Hillside Elementary School, and authorize the chairman to sign such.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Been moved in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Here we're going to move along now to item number 14, discussion and possible action. Board of County Commissioners to consider a letter of interest and appointment of a Story County Regional Transportation Commission, RTC, member who is qualified Story County resident at large. This member will be the third member of a three-member commission. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners, or Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. If you remember, the Regional Transportation Commission of Story County was created or reactivated in August of 2018 by Ordinance 18285, and that was done with amendments to Chapter 244 and 380 regulating RTCs in Story County. That ordinance that we have creates a three-member board, two members of this commission, and one member that is at large from the community, a citizen of the county. At that time, this commission in 2018 had voted for Mr. McBride and Mr. Gilman to be the two county commissioner, RTC commissioners, and then we had then posted in the communities across the county for the third at-large public member. So that posting occurred on April 24th, 19, was posted in accordance with policy. We had one application, and we're very pleased that Jim Poston of the Virginia City Highlands, who is here in the back of the audience there, applied and provide a letter of interest expressing a tremendous amount of background experience and knowledge and skills and abilities, including 37 years in transportation planning, working with the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, Nevada Department of Transportation, and various other planning activities, both as staff and as consultation. We believe that not only does he have an unbelievably well-rounded background in transportation, but he understands transportation issues across Story County, whether it's Tri-Center, Interstate 80 area, or up here in Virginia City in the Highlands of Mark Twain. So we're very excited that he has applied, and we are very strongly recommending Mr. Poston as the third RTC member, and we welcome any questions. And he provides an excellent weather report and traffic report in the morning as well. I believe we'll continue doing that.
Any questions for Austin?
No questions. I just want to support that. I think Jim would be a great addition.
Mr. Poston, we could ask you if there's anything you'd like to say.
No.
Okay.
Let's see any questions.
Goodness. All right. Okay. Think of that. Couldn't have a better candidate to go ahead and join the team. So. Get a motion to approve. Wait, is there open? Is there public comment?
Public comment.
Yeah. No public comment. Now I'll ask for a motion.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, my Lance Gilman motion to appoint Jim Poston to serve a two-year term of the Story County Regional Transportation Commission, RTC, in accordance with Story County Code 2.44 and 3.80. The term will end on this date of appointment in the year 2021.
Right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you, Mr. Poston, for joining the RTC. Your expertise, we look forward to participating with you when we get some programs. Well, when Austin gets some programs prepared to up and running there. So.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is item number 15, discussion of possible action, public hearing. Review, establish, and possibly approve the fair market value at not less than the appraised value for the sale of the Crystal Bar, which is currently the visitor center, located at 86 South C Street, Virginia City, per guidelines established in NRS 244.281. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. There is a fairly complicated process set up by statute as to how you're supposed to sell county property. One of the requirements is that the property that's proposed for sale be appraised, and that can be done in two ways. You can either have two appraisals done, or you can have one appraisal and a public hearing before the Board of County Commissioners to establish the fair market value of the property that we're selling. So we've had a single appraisal done, which came back at a value of $385,000. And this is the public hearing to take any information as to whether or not that should be different from what the appraisal is. And this is kind of Dennis' baby. So.
Thanks, Keith. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. For the record, Denny Dotson, Tourism Director. If you think back 2014, the VCTC first purchased the Black and Howell lot. At that time, the intention was to build a new visitor center, possibly one day. Fast forward 5 years. Since then, we've been able to do some demolition of that property to kind of prepare it. As Keith said, then we jumped into the somewhat complicated, not being an attorney, process of selling a piece of county property. With that, the first thing we did was pass a resolution with the VCTC, basically authorizing the district attorney to work with the county commission on establishing a price and then subsequently potentially selling the property. We also, back earlier this year, selected Sam Ward as the appraiser. You've approved that, and then we get, as Keith mentioned, had it appraised. So with that, we are back here today to establish a price per the guidelines that Keith mentioned. So with that, I'll entertain questions.
I'm not sure if my questions are going to be directed to you, Denny, or the district attorney, but if we're determining the value, isn't that already been determined by the appraisal, excuse me?
Well, yes, I mean, the appraisal has established the value, but the statutes require either two appraisals or one appraisal and a public hearing to establish the fair market value of the property. So we have information available to the board that $385,000 is what the single appraiser has valued it at. And if anyone has any information that suggests that that's an erroneous figure, then they should be welcome to present whatever information they have.
Okay, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself with my next question, but in order to sell this building, if the commission agreed on this, can we accept what the appraised value of the property is, or do we have to put it out to bid or to auction to try to bring in the highest value possible?
There are two options available. One is to set it out for a public auction in which you can take bids. The other one is to set the price and offer the contract for sale. And that can be done on two different occasions. If you don't get a response that you like or you don't get any responses at all, then it can go to a real estate broker to market it for sale. So that's a decision point that we haven't arrived at yet. There's going to be some issues regarding the Historic Commission restrictions on the use of the building that I think are going to have to be cleared up first.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, on that, there is covenants on that building, and they expire December 31st, 2023. In reviewing those, I don't see it as a huge hurdle. It could be. Potentially a new owner may have different ideas, but I think if they were going to be open to the business, to the public, you know, obviously they still would need permission if they wanted to do any upgrades on the interior or the exterior through that time period. But really, I think if it's not entirely cumbersome, they just have to get approval before they do any upgrades to that building. Have it open to the public certain times of the year, and if it's a certain amount of days of the year, and if it's not, you have to publish it in the paper, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. I've noticed that this county in the past has sold property on an online auction service. And of course, I got an advertisement from Pershing County. They're doing that right now as well. They've got vacant land that they are going to sell on the on an online auction site. So, of course, anytime we sell property, we actually want to get it, you know, as close to the fair market value as possible. So, since you're going to need that money for your new location anyway. Okay, commissioners, have any questions?
I have a concern. I The first part of this issue is we are looking at an appraisal and selling the crystal bar for an amount of money. BCTC would like to consider building a new facility on the Powell building. We yet have no idea what that facility might cost us. And I'm going through my mind all of the discussions we've had over the court, for example, for the cost and the pricing that we're going to have to do. So I'm not comfortable going in to a program to sell something against something we have no idea what our ultimate cost is going to be. And I assume that's going to have to come before this board to approve. So I'd be more comfortable if we had some estimated bids on what it's going to take to build a new facility before we start selling something that's going to be gone and we don't have any place to operate out of. So I'm not sure all that works. I'm confused on that. But I really would like to see some numbers on what we're planning to spend on the health building before we commit to selling a property that's presently in use and working pretty well.
So, Mr. Lomas, with this item here, we're simply looking at approving the market value of this appraisal. We're not. This isn't a consideration to sell the property.
No, it's not.
So I think we're good there.
I agree. The structure of the language is a bit concerning, but on May 9th, the BCTC did pass a resolution. I was there. I was a part of that board. And desiring to sell the property for not less than the appraised value, whereas the funds would be used to construct a new visitor center on the Black and Howell. The BCTC would also request that a lease back, et cetera, be done. And so in the process of approving that you're going to sell the building, I still think that it would be prudent to be researching the cost of the new facility prior to getting out over ahead of ourselves.
I agree with you, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jay, you have anything to add to this?
I'm in agreement with you guys.
Okay. We open up this to public comment. Any public comment regarding this item?
Let me just add that under the statutory process, the appraisal by Mr. Ward is only good for 6 months.
Okay.
And if you go out past 6 months, we'll have to do a new appraisal.
Okay.
What was the cost of appraisal?
$3,500.
$3,500. I was going to guess about $3,000. So our risk on that would be that we wouldn't get this thing done. But I suspect you could get a building design plan in mind. I've seen some slides and some of the ideas that we're considering, and some of them are significant in size, and others are scaled back appropriately. But I'd like to see a bit more work done personally on estimating the cost of a new facility before we get too far out over selling what we have.
Mr. Gallen, maybe I can address some of that, and I feel the same way. I think today, like Keith said, was to establish a price. Outside of that, I have been in contact with Mr. Gallagher about potentially another option would be to finance new construction of that building. We are getting some designs done by an architect to give us an idea of what it might look like. And again, bringing back some construction costs to give us some options, whether to lease back after we sell it, if we do sell it, or just finance new construction and then lease the crystal out. So we have options.
If I may ask, Keith, we could bring this back anytime during the next 6 month window, and that ought to give us enough time to get a design in mind and an estimated cost for a new facility.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd consider a motion that would continue the item and ask staff to continue the research and evaluate what it's going to take to put a new building in.
And if I may offer, I believe I copied you, Mr. Chairman, but I recently notified the Justice Court team suggesting, I think there were six, seven, or eight builders that we've worked with over the years that have done quality projects and worked well with the county, the company that built the parking lot, the company that built the community chest annex or phase two.
I'd be happy to share that with you. Some of those guys are very helpful once you get a preliminary design of being able to, you know, sit down and say, per square foot, you're roughly looking at this and this. So I think that would satisfy where you're going.
We've moved a long ways to understanding what we're doing.
Yeah.
I'll pass that on.
Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with the process. I'm disappointed in the appraisal. I think it's low. Myself, just...
Maybe it's an attractive buy. I'm not
sure. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you be in the mind of maybe asking for a second appraisal opinion?
Well, the thing is, I don't know if it would matter if we put this at an auction. I mean, if we wanted to get the appraisal price, if we wanted to make it no less than, if that was going to be like the, yeah, the lowest bid you could have, then we perhaps get more out of the property. If there's potential buyers out there who find more value in them. But I don't know right now, maybe in the, currently I don't think I have the appetite to spend more money on another appraisal. Because everything seems to be coming in pretty close and we do get multiple appraisals now. So.
Well, we could probably cross that bridge once we get to the point where we can see, do we want to spend X amount of dollars on a new center?
Right.
And so once we can cross that bridge, then we can decide how the best form of capitalization or what return we can get on the building.
So in order to continue this, do you want to continue this to every agendized, to each meeting going forward, or every other one, or when would you like to revisit?
If appropriate, this? I'd like to bring it back at such time as the VCTC and or staff can identify an approximate cost of a replacement facility.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any ballpark dates you have in mind, Denny? For
I'd have to reach out to some construction companies like Pat referenced and get some estimates on square footage to rebuild that visitor center.
Okay. Well, first we're going to have to get design first. From the
and design, yeah. The design, excuse me, the design, he said no more than 60 days, I think, and that was a couple weeks ago that we agreed for architecture to draw up the designs. So we should.
I do think 180 days, 6 months is more than enough time to visit with a rough plan set, if you will.
Yeah.
With an approximate bid program.
Okay, and, well, once you get the design back, you could send it out to bid.
Yeah.
So is 6 weeks too soon to hear this again? It gives us time for the architect and the time for the bid process.
If you want 6 weeks, it would be within the 6 month period. I mean,
yeah.
We can bring it back for.
I don't want to get us all the way out to the end of the time frame and then have to.
Right.
And then have to go out and get another appraisal if that's what we wanted to do. You know, if we were going to go forward with this. That would bring us into the middle of July.
How about we have a 6 month window? Let's shoot for no later than 90 days out that they come back with a plan and a price for the next 90 days.
I'll see what I can do. Yeah, I'll get with the architect, see if I can get him to tighten his window.
Okay.
Well, and we can then select. We still have 6 months, so you can bring it in 3 or maybe it's 4. But let's use that as a goal.
Sure.
So you'd want to put give a specific date to bring this back?
I guess I'd ask Pat to bring this back once we've identified that we have the information. Wouldn't it be appropriate just to reapply for another agenda item at that point, as opposed to naming a date specific today?
I don't say yes. You know, I'm not hearing no from council, so you know that gives Denny ample time to. You know, definitely stay on top of it. I'd like to clarify one thing. I'm not sure you'll be able to go out to bid as much as get contractor estimates was
yeah.
Where I was going with
okay.
That.
Okay, all right, yeah. Better said, yes. So maybe a motion to continue this or to bring it back within 90 days.
I like that.
How's that?
I'd be good with that.
Okay. You want to put that into a motion?
Do we need public comment?
I asked for public comment before. I'll ask for it again. Is there any additional public comment on this item? No.
I move move this particular item to come back before the board on an agenda item no later than 90 days from today.
Okay. I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second it.
Moved and second to continue this item up to the next, sometime within the next 90 days. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. All right. Item number 16, discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 19-593, authorizing a grant of up to $12,500 on behalf of Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association to install solar-powered wild horse crossing signs at or near the intersection of Cartwright and State Route 341.
Mr. Chairman, this was brought up at the last meeting regarding the a grant of money by the county for the purposes that you've described. And we have put together the resolution required by statute, which authorizes the grant of the $12,500 for the purpose of the establishing those horse crossing signs. And it is before you today. Valerie from the BRWPA is here. I think she was here last time also. So it is for your consideration.
And I might add, based on information that Val and I had discussed, the $12,500 is a highly inflated number. I think we were dealing with about $4,500 to $4,800 per song. We're talking two songs.
Okay, so just a little wiggle room there. Exactly. They run into hard rock or something like that. Okay. Commissioners, have any questions?
We discussed it at the last meeting, I believe.
Yeah, we did. We had to bring it back for this. Any public comments? Come on up, Mr. Posey.
Since I felt, though, I'm Jim Poston, Story County resident. I felt a little disappointed because I didn't say anything at my appointment, but I was just reading through the agenda. I noticed on the resolution, it says Cartwright Road and SR 342 for the flashing signs. Mm-hmm. We probably want it 341.
It's supposed to be 341.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't know if that was pertinent, but I thought I'd point it out so you could make a change.
We do have it in the motion, but not in the...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional public comment? Does Valerie have anything to say? Of course she does.
Is this going to be approved?
Can you just speak up a little bit?
Are we getting an approval on the on these signs?
Depends on how you come across at the podium.
Oh. I might have to beg. I don't know, but I'm not below doing that or above doing that. Anyway, I'd like to thank all of you, commissioners, Mr. Witten, Mr. Loomis, for assisting us with this and your consideration. And everyone feels it's quite important to have some kind of signage at these locations. As I said, the last meeting, there are signs now. They're static signs, and all it has is a picture of a horse. But the ones that NDOT put in at 341, at the down south and at the north end of 341, are quite visible and I think very helpful to what we're trying to accomplish here. And it's a little bit at a time because we have so many problems with USA Parkway and Highway 50. And this is a major, major horse crossing and we've got a lot of traffic, as everyone knows, on Geiger Grade. So we'd really appreciate your support in approving the resolution.
Well, we appreciate your efforts too and to endeavor to make it safer out there for the wildlife, especially the horses, because there's more horses out there than anything else.
Right. Yeah. And the vehicles, the pedestrian, the traffic, you know,
that's right.
Safer for them too.
Exactly. Okay. How can you vote no against that, right? We get a motion to approve?
All motion. Highland County Commissioner moved to approve resolution number 19-539, granting up to $12,500 On behalf of the Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association, VRWPA, to install solar-powered wild horse crossing signs at or near the intersection of Cartwright Road and SR 341.
Do I have a second on that?
I'll second that.
And then, Mr. Chairman, we can again be very clear, and thank you, Mr. Poston. The resolution will be corrected in the on page 2, where it says now, therefore, it is hereby resolved as follows. We will correct SR 342 to 341.
Very good. Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Val.
Thank you so much. And Jay, I guess you and I will be working on this on the signage. You said you had already checked out some sign companies.
The vendors that NDOT uses.
Pardon me?
The same vendor that NDOT uses.
Oh, okay. And thank you, Mr. Witten. Should I get in touch with the Tara Smaltz that I've been in contact with? Let her know what's happened here. And you also have a contact that?
Yes, I've already talked to the director.
Okay, the director. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Valerie. All right. Moving on to item 17. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the 747 Fire District Board. Bring us on to item number 18, discussion of possible action. This is approval of the 2019-2020 474 Fire District final budget. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Gilman, Chairman Carmona, staff. Stakeholders of Story County. The Story County Fire Board, the Fire District Operating Fund increased to allow for some additional ad valorem of about $990,000. Fire expenditures increased to $167,428 as a result of $24,788 attributed to reclassifications and benefits, and $142,640 to reflect additional debt service. Fire Emergency Fund, we are anticipating $205,000 in revenue, and again, $205,000 in expenditures. This is a in and out account. And as far as mutual aid is concerned, which is our out-of-district assignments, we are scheduling $500,000 in revenue and, again, $500,000 in expenses. As far as the fire capital projects plan, there is no change in that. Again, if there are appropriations that need to happen during this fiscal year, it will be brought before the board. Mr. Chairman.
Commissioners, have any questions for you regarding the 474?
No question.
Me neither. Okay. We'll open up any public comment regarding this item. Hearing none, we can get a motion to approve the 474 fire budget.
I move to approve the filing of the 2019-2020 474 Fire District final budget to the Department of Taxation.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moving to second to approve the 474 fire budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. This time we're going to go ahead and recess as the 474 Fire District Board, and we're going to convene as the Story County Water Sewer Board. Bringing us up, next item is item number 20, discussion of possible action, approve the 2019-2020 Water and Sewer final budget. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The water system final budget changed from the tentative in the amount of $4,687 due to salaries and benefit adjustments. I believe that the 594 was had remained the same as far as our Virginia's Divide sewer. Budget increased $250,860 to reflect payments to USDA for the new sewer line and plant expansion and salary and benefit adjustments. Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner, have any questions for you on this item?
No questions.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the filing of the 2019-2020 water sewer final budget to the Department of Transportation.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Move a second to approve the water sewer final budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Water Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us up to item number 22, discussion of possible action and approval of the 2019-2020 final budget for Story County.
Just a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. General fund revenue. What a task that is. I met with Department of Taxation last week with Janice Eden, our assessor, to establish some sort of estimate for ad valorem, understanding that Story County is one of the few counties in the state of Nevada that gives 100% abatements. Department of Taxation's abatement numbers were about $15 million off of what I had. I therefore didn't have much value in those numbers. We met with the assistant director for the Department of Taxation, went over how we sent information to him, and we got a phone call back saying that their numbers were in fact incorrect, or their estimates were incorrect, and to adjust. I didn't see the need to adjust because I'm very conservative about this, and I really don't see how you can miss the boat on abatements by that much, although the explanation is our third-party advanced data systems, because their current software didn't recognize 100%, had to do what they would call a backdoor program. Those are never good. And they did a program where they could do 99.999%. It effectively got us to input certain material into that program. However, as most things done when you backdoor program, the information that went to the Department of Taxation was erroneous. So, consequently, I did adjust the general fund revenue by about $313,000. The Tesla payments have been adjusted for the budget year between the general and fire funds, and currently there is no contract for the fiscal year 19 or 20. With regard to the clerk treasurer, their payroll increased 2.86 over the tentative budget due to salary and benefits adjustments and with a shared employee. District court will have additional expenses due to legislative action for youth services and public defender from the tentative. Genetic marker testing has no change from the tentative. drug court has no change from the tentative. Recorder budget increased 1.12% over the tentative due to insurance adjustments. The assessor budget increased 1.39% over the tentative due to an insurance adjustment. The technology fund, which is shared by the assessor, the clerk treasurer, and the recorder, has no change from the tentative. Buildings and grounds increased 25.67% over the tentative due to a transfer of employee salaries and wages from the planning department to buildings and grounds. Pools and parks budget increased over the tentative by 0.49% due to minor salary and benefit changes. Service department increased 0.88% due to salary and benefit adjustments for a total expenditures of $386,562. The roads budget increased $400,000 due to a transfer from the general fund. And the roads budget also increased $5,125 due to salary and benefit adjustments and $250,000 earmarked for road improvements for Mark Twain and Rainbow Bend. USDA loan benefits were adjusted to reflect what their output is. So we are requesting $393,501 of revenue and expending that for the same amount for this next year. We don't know at this point in time with our Justice Court relocation. We have no idea about that. There are some, one of the considerations is to use a USDA loan, although those explanations are far from being over yet. Community development increased 11.12% over the tentative due to salary and benefit increases for one additional building official. District attorney had minor adjustments due to increased insurance costs. Their total budget is $1,029,719. Justice Court budget increased 1.78% over tentative due to insurance adjustments. Justice Court fund has anticipated revenue of $46,000 for the year and expenses of $4,500 for the year. There is no change from the tentative budget. Communications budget increased 6.41% over the tentative budget due to salary adjustments and increased allocations to overtime. Their total budget now is $1,116,917. IT department increased 5.61% over the tentative budget due to salary and benefit reclassifications. Comptroller expenses increased 4.62% over the tentative budget due to salary reclassifications, increased insurance allocation, travel and moving expenses, which we hope to be at the Piper's House by June 30th. Our budget is $566,000, excuse me. Emergency management operational expenses increased $28,898, for which $24,000 was attributed to a 5-year FEMA update to our hazardous mitigation plan. And there's no change in that. Community relations budget increased 6.14% over the tentative budget due to salary and benefit reclassifications and the addition of the Story County G Posse nonprofit. Their budget now stands at $1,072,936. Park Fund was created to provide capital acquisition to all of our parks within Story County. We anticipate $6,500 in revenue, and we anticipate, or there's an estimate of $116,000 being paid out. And there is no change from the tenant. Equipment acquisition increased expenditures by $185,000, which represent the transfer of the expense of sheriff vehicles from the administrative budget to equipment acquisition. Commissioner's budget increased 3.39% from the tentative budget to for salary and benefit adjustments related to our new county manager position. Administrative expenses increased 26.51% over the tentative budget to salary and benefit adjustments of about $60,000 and additional transfers from the general fund to the emergency management and roads special revenue funds in the amount of $455,000. We are losing our county manager as of June 30th. Our new county manager has been wearing about six hats for about the same 8 or 9 years. In order for him to move into his new position, Mr. Osborne needs to have the ability to produce a staff that will be complementary to what he needs to have done. And this is why this was particularly, there's been a lot of work on this. And so I felt, and budget team felt, that he needed the ability to produce a staff that he could work with. Health and Human Services budget increased 0.07% due to insurance adjustments. The planning department, planning budget increased 5.9% due to projected increases in professional services pertaining to general site planning of an additional $50,000 and flood mitigation of an additional $70,000. Indigent Medical, we are estimating $60,000 in revenue. We are estimating $200,000 in expenses. We may not get to that number, but the legislature is not over yet. Indigent Accident has revenue of $89,000 and expenditures of $80,000, which is a no change from the tentative. Capital Projects has increased expenditures from the tentative of $1 million. Infrastructure is established through a 1/4 cent sales tax. We estimate that there's $425,000 in revenue that could come into there. The plan and the expenditures we are looking at about $1 million for infrastructure. I will note that during the second meeting in June, I will ask the board to approve a new infrastructure plan, which will include some additional items we haven't seen. The plan was probably established in, I'm thinking, 2014. We have gone through most of that now, and so we're due for another plan. So I will present that during the second meeting in June. Stabilization. We didn't anticipate any revenue coming from stabilization. We have expenditures of $500,000. We may want to take that to $1 million. We'll wait again until augmentations are done on the second meeting in June. Tri-payback, we're estimating $755,000 of revenues, which are transfers from the various funds that participate in the wealth or not so well of TRI, and we expense, we are including expenses of $2,500,000 in order to satisfy the debt to our public-private partner. The VC Rail project, again, $20,000 in revenue as a IRS forgiveness and payments on the debt of $117,000. There's a possible call date this year. However, we won't know that until the second meeting in June. Federal and state grants remain unchanged at $93,000 in and $93,000 out. The VCTC had $5,917 due to salary and benefit adjustments. Piper's Opera House revenues were scheduled to decrease due to the elimination of an intertransfer fund from the general fund, and expenses are scheduled to increase $7,261 due to salary and benefit adjustments. Mr. Chairman, that concurs everything up to the Sheriff's Department.
And, Mr. Chairman, if I may, just so the record's clear, Comptroller Gallagher had asked me to kind of be eyes and ears on this very streamlined, great process. And we want to make sure that the record's clear that in roads, the $250,000 earmarked for road improvements are for Mark Twain, and they're also for Lockwood, not Rainbow Bend. Rainbow Bend roads are maintained by the GOD, I believe. And on, Hugh, on the top of, I think, page 3, you covered emergency management. You might have accidentally overlooked emergency mitigation.
Probably.
So you might cover that one.
Emergency mitigation increased $55,000 due to a general fund transfer, and their expenses decreased by $40,000. And there is a really big reason for this. It has to do with the way we present our budgets to the Department of Taxation. And there's basically three columns. First column is that they want to look at is what our audited budget numbers were for 2018. The middle column is what our current budget is. The current budget that the Department of Taxation describes is the final budget for the 1920 year. Now, I know most of you gentlemen at this table who have businesses don't take your budget from last year and make projections on what you're going to do next year. You would probably look at those projections as of the third quarter of this year. We are unable to do that. We cannot put that into the budget. Consequently, we have to do some adjustments to get the numbers to where we could pass through to the Department of Taxation and not have a negative ending fund balance. In most of these cases, when we've done the revenues and why we expend the appropriations on the expense side, if we don't expense that, that doesn't make any difference. That's still an expense as far as the Department of Taxation is concerned. So consequently, there has to be some adjustments. Emergency mitigation was one of them. Mr. Whitman, I'm pretty sure I did mention on the roads that the $250,000 was earmarked for Mark Twain and Rainbow Bend.
No, sir. Lockwood.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I stand corrected.
Okay. So, commissioners, have any questions for you regarding the general budget so far?
No.
All right. And we'll ask if there's any public comment regarding the general fund. This everything that's been listed so far by Mr. Gallagher, it's everything except the sheriff's office budget. So, Ms. Bart. Please keep in mind that this is public comment only.
Nicole Bart, Stewart County resident. I actually have three questions. One, there's a documentation on the sheet that talks about the Tesla contract. I'd just like to understand what that means. When looking at the general fund sheet, you've got Tesla in four places, plus or minus a couple thousand dollars. And in one place, there, from the preliminary budget to the final, there's a $744K deficit. So just wondering what happened there. So that's one question. The second question is that looking at the growth budget and looking at other areas, I don't see anything for the Highlands. And there's been talk and commitment from the commission about Cartwright and Lousetown, which is a separate issue from the maintenance of Lousetown and Cartwright under normal routine care. And so I don't see the Highlands anywhere in the road budget or anywhere else. And then the third question, and you and I talked about this before the meeting, is you're plugging in $1 million each for capital and infrastructure, and yet there's nothing in here that tells the citizens what that million is going to be spent on. I understand from Hugh that right now you don't have that, so you're plugging that million in there for both funds as a placeholder until you actually vote on what and if to spend it on later. But I'm just registering that I've been asking for these two lists, and they're not here with the final budget. Okay, I can accept that, but Hugh has made the commitment to me that it'll be there in the June meeting. I'm asking for the commissioners to tell me that you will be presenting both of those lists in far enough ahead of time for people to see it before you vote. So those are my three questions. One, the Tesla numbers in the general fund. Two, where's the Highlands anywhere on road spending? And three, the two lists.
Okay. And you can meet with Mr. Gallagher's office and go over that, but this is public comment only. Thank you.
Okay. Are you not going to answer the questions on
No, this is not what this part of the meeting is. This isn't the answer question portion of the meeting. This is public comment only. Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment? If not, I'd like to go ahead and get a motion to approve the general budget to this part right now through what we've heard so far. And then after that, we'll continue on with the sheriff's budget. So
I'll move to approve the filing of the 2019-2020 Story County final budget, except for the sheriff department budget, to the Department of Taxation.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, it's been moved to second to approve all portions of the general fund with the exception of the sheriff's office. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay, next up we're going to have Mr. Gallagher do the sheriff's office budget. So, Commissioner Gilman?
Yes, if I may, in a bunch of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from discussion or voting on the sheriff's budget as there is existing litigation between Gerald Ethanorl and myself. Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
All right. Very good. Okay. Mr. Gallagher, if you'd like to continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The sheriff budget increased 2.27% over the tentative due to reclassification of vehicle purchases from the general fund to the equipment acquisition fund and some salary and benefit adjustments. Mr. Chairman, I had mentioned during the tentative that there were some things that I wanted to look at as far as the scheduling is concerned between the 10-hour and the 12-hour schedules. I feel that at this point in time it would be inappropriate to go ahead and tell the commission my thoughts because my thoughts and the sheriff's thoughts obviously are different, but what I would like to do is I would like to get a study. We've been talking about this way too long. The sheriff is digging in. I'm trying to at least get something as far as appropriations to the county. And so with your permission, I would like to, with the sheriff's help, get some sort of independent analysis of what's happening, whether the 10s or the 12s or should happen, and then give that to you for your recommendations as to what you want to do with it. So That concludes my budget presentation for the final budget, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Yes, absolutely.
You know, we've been back and forth on this whole schedule thing. I have not heard the fire department schedule come up, the district attorney's office schedule come up, anybody else's schedule come up. Now, I do remember 7 years ago, having conversations with Mr. Gallagher wanting us to get off of the 12-hour schedules because of the generation of overtime. What his fixation is with my schedule, I don't know. But fact of the matter is, if somebody wants to set the schedule for the sheriff's office, they need to step up and file for office and run for it, because it is the sheriff's prerogative how I use those resources. And that's true with anybody. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the commission. You can say, this is how much money you have. Now, allocate your resources how you want. But the comptroller, the district attorney, the president of the United States cannot come and say, sheriff, this is how you're going to schedule your people. Now, back to the point, 12-hour schedules are unsafe, and I've got a mountain of research if anybody wants to read it. Because by the time you work that 12 hours, some of the most recent studies say that your judgment, perception, reaction time is all about the equivalent of being at a 0.10 blood alcohol level. So, and I don't know how much you want to talk about schedules. If we're going to hire somebody to do some kind of a study, we might as well just get our little campfires out and start throwing money on it, because that's what we're doing. There's plenty of research out there. And at the end of the day, it's still up to the sheriff how things are going to be scheduled as far as the staffing and how we're going to provide the resources and the services to this community. That's what this office does. You guys do the money. I provide the public safety. It's that simple. So I don't know why the fixation on my schedule. If I had my druthers, I'd have everybody on an 8-hour schedule, because you get the most biggest bang for your buck on that. But trying to balance the needs of the community, the desires of my staff so that they can remain happy and provide a good service, we try to look for a middle ground that works for everybody. The 10-hour shifts do that. It also allows us to have an overlap when there's special events, so we're not calling in a bunch of people whenever there's events going on. We don't have to bring in 10,000 people to cover 4th of July, because I've got everybody working that day already. And the schedule is working as is. And you can cut resources and I'll reconfigure the schedule. You can add resources, I'll reconfigure the schedule. But as long as it's up to me to say, we will not have 12-hour schedule, because they're unsafe.
I don't think it's like we're looking at unsafe for the community.
I don't think we're looking at cutting the budget.
The scheduling that I've seen in the past through the comptroller's office, if you did your same man hours on a 12-hour schedule, it would save the county money by doing it that way.
If I were to do a 12-hour schedule right now, to do it correctly, with the staffing levels that we have projected that we need, I need exactly the amount of deputies that I have right now on a 12-hour schedule. Okay. And I'll be happy to show it to you.
One of the other arguments was that your staff would prefer to work 12s because it gives them more free time off.
Well,
some
of them may prefer a 12-hour right. schedule, and but there's a lot of problems.
You use the argument about, maybe with their level of consciousness after being on the job for a long time. The argument on the fire side is they work 48-hour shifts there.
And the fire side, they have rest area, they have sleep time. My deputies don't go to sleep during their shift. My deputies are supposed to be out there patrolling right. the entire shift and doing preventative crime, interceding when there is criminal acts, responding to calls for service. We don't have a nice little lounge and a TV and a kitchen and a bedroom and all of that. So the fire service is a whole different world.
Well, I know that. I'm not suggesting that the firemen are up to 48 hours because they do have rest time if they're not on calls for the whole shift. But, you know,
I can send my guys home or set up cots for them.
But a firefighter is going to be up for 12 hours straight as well, same as your deputy sheriff would be. Is that not right?
I don't know. I don't know what they do in their little honeycomb hideout. I know what I know when I see them come out onto the street, what they do, and they earn their money. I'm not denying that. But I also know that the fire department is somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500, 2,000 calls a year, where we're up in the neighborhood of 15,000 calls a year.
Well, I'm not advocating.
So, and
nobody's earning their pay, whether your office or the fire department.
At the end of the day,
the comptroller's office is simply, you know, looking out to see if we have, you know, if there's cost savings in order we could, you know, get rid of it.
And there always are. But if you look at operationally, my costs have hardly changed at all over the last 8 years. Very minimal changes in the operational expenses. Majority of expenses are staffing, and we identified nearly 5 years ago the staffing level that we needed then. The allocation of the two additional bodies that I put in my budget for this year puts us at the level we identified 5 years ago. And with the increases, the 60% increase in calls for service that we've seen just in the industrial center, and it's pretty warranted. I'm not looking at anything further. Now, we'll do another staff study between now and next year's budget and see where we're at. But I don't anticipate, unless something goes hog wild, maybe the Painted Rock or some other residential development gets made, maybe then we'll have to look at additional resources. But as things stand right now, we're not. And I say, you can argue the numbers on how many people I need to provide the level of service that's needed to be provided, but a 12-hour schedule isn't changing anything.
Okay.
Because we're going to make it up in overtime.
Do you have any questions for the sheriff today?
I do not.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry. Do you have any questions for Mr. Gallagher?
I do not.
Okay. Well, we open it up for public comment on the sheriff's office budget. Hearing none, we get a motion to approve the sheriff's budget.
I make a motion to approve the filing of the 2019-2020 Sheriff's Budget to the Department of Taxation.
Second your motion. And move to second to approve the Sheriff's Office Budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next up is item number 23, discussing possible action regarding Resolution 19-536, granting Story County Senior Citizen Center the sum of $279,404 for the purpose of maintaining the Story County Senior Center for providing programs and services to seniors to promote independent and healthy lifestyles. Ms. Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin, for the record. As you recall, we instituted this resolution process last year, working with Chief Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis. NRS allows us to grant nonprofits money. It's NRS 244-1505. This must be made by resolution each year, and the grant must specify exactly what they're going to do with this. So we've provided you today with the resolution, not all the supporting documents. Nothing has changed from what was submitted to you last year, so we decided in an effort to kind of trim down the amount of paperwork you're being provided, you're just being provided with the resolution. So this is the first one. You've got another seven, actually, so there's a total of eight, and they're all very similar. Just the, of course, the entity, the nonprofit entity is different, and the amount of money is different for each one. So I don't know if you want me to read the entire resolution or...
I don't think it's necessary, is it?
It's not necessary, no.
Okay. We'll just go through. We'll ask for public comment on each one.
And
we'll
board.
Unless the commissioners have any questions for Sherry?
Okay.
All right. Open up for, is there public comment regarding the Story County Senior Citizen Center resolution? Hearing none, get a motion to approve.
I move to approve resolution 19-536, granting the Story County Senior Citizen Center the sum of $279,404 for the purpose of maintaining the Story County Senior Center and for providing programs and services to seniors to promote independent and healthy lifestyles.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Moving along now to item number 24, discussion of possible action regarding resolution number 19-535, granting the St. Mary's Arts Center, a nonprofit entity, the sum not to exceed $80,000 for the purpose of preserving the St. Mary's Arts Center, a county-owned building and supporting arts and culture through education and cultural offerings. Ms. Nevin.
Again, this is the same here. NRS 244-1505 allows us to grant money to this nonprofit organization, St. Mary's Arts Center. They're doing a tremendous job. We've been able to actually help them out with some state grants, and we're just looking to embark on a project to help them restore that third floor balcony so it's usable. So these additional monies will help just with the ongoing maintenance of that building, which, as we know, owning several buildings of our own, we do own this building, but the cost to maintain these historic structures just continues to rise each year as they age. So this will help them tremendously in their efforts.
Thank you, Sherry. Any questions for Sherry?
No questions.
Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, get a motion to approve.
I move to approve Resolution 19-535. Granting the St. Mary's Arts Center, Inc., a sum not to exceed $80,000 for the purpose of preserving the St. Mary's Arts Center, a county-owned building, and supporting arts and culture through the education and cultural offerings.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moving a second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 25, discussion of possible action regarding resolution number 19-534, granting the Nevada Rural Counties, which is RSVP, Programs Incorporated, a sum not to exceed $7,050 for the purpose of providing essential programs for Story County seniors, veterans, adults with disabilities, and caregivers. Ms. Nevin.
Sherry Nevin, for the record again, same scenario on this, just allowing the county to grant money to RSVP. We've been granting them money since the mid-70s. For their work here in Story County, we continue, actually Stacy and I just met with their executive director a couple weeks ago to continue to work with them to see how we can expand the services that they offer in the county here. We have a transportation program at the senior center that's booming, and we're kind of at a point where it's like we can't necessarily keep up with everything that's coming at us. So trying to work with RSVP to maybe have them take over some of the services for transportation of veterans, and seeing how we can kind of roll that out. So this is, again, the same amount that they've been given for many years to continue their programs.
Terrific. Any questions for Sherry on this item? Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve Resolution 19-534, granting the Nevada Rural Counties RSVP Program, Inc., a sum not to exceed $7,050 for the purpose of providing essential programs for Story County seniors, veterans, adults with disabilities, and caregivers.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moving a second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 26, discussion of possible action regarding resolution number 19-533, granting the Mark Twain Community Center a sum not to exceed $25,000 for the purpose of preserving the Mark Twain Community Center and for the community outreach and improvement. Ms. Nevin.
As you recall, a few years back, the fire department basically transferred a portion of the building that was unused to be used as a community center. So Mark Twain Community Center has been running this building for the last, I think we're going on 5 years now. They're doing a tremendous job in the facility there. They pretty much take care of everything that needs to be done. With this money this year, they put in some new flooring in the facility. They may actually be looking at the $10,000 commissioner allocation to do some additional work in the building. But this, again, is the same amount that they received last year, and they're a great group of folks to work with, make sure that the building, it's pretty much used every single day for some sort of community function.
Terrific. Okay, any questions for Sherry on this item? Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve Resolution 19-533. Granting the Mark Twain Community Center a sum not to exceed $25,000 for the purpose of preserving the Mark Twain Community Center and for community outreach and improvements.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Excuse me. approving this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 27, discussion of possible action regarding resolution number 19-532, granting Liberty Engine Company number 1 Incorporated a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of preserving the Comstock Firemen's Museum and its historic contents. Ms. Nevin.
Again, this is $10,000 to the Comstock Firemen's Museum. This building is owned by the county. It's been run by the Comstock Firemen's Museum nonprofit board since the 70s. Again, this is another one of our old buildings here, and it does require some maintenance. As a few of us are aware, there's always a project that's needing to be done. So they've been very successful in the past couple years utilizing these funds to do some repointing of the exterior brick, put some new gutter in, rain gutters on the outside of the exterior of the building. We've done some electrical work, so these funds are very much appreciated by that board to be able to maintain this building.
Once again, any questions for Ms. Nevin?
No questions.
Okay. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, you get a motion to approve?
I move to approve Resolution 19-532 granting the Liberty Engine Company No. 1, Inc., a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of preserving the Comstock Firemen's Museum and its historic contents.
Motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
We're moving to second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 28, discussion of possible action regarding resolution number 19-531, granting the historic Fourth Ward School Foundation a sum not to exceed $120,000 for the purpose of preserving the Fourth Ward School building and promoting the history of the Comstock and Story County. Ms. Nevin.
Again, basically the same story as the last few ones here. Again, this is a county-owned facility run by the Fourth Ward School nonprofit, a large historic building. Again, comes with a lot of maintenance and other things that need to be addressed. So, again, they're very thankful for the amount of money that that's being requested for this year. And you can take a look at their facility. They do a very nice job and keeping it up. They've got a couple of large projects that will be that they've actually received some grant money in addition to what we allocate them to be able to get done. So,
very good. Any questions for Sherry?
No questions.
Okay. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve Resolution 19-531, granting the historic Fourth Ward School Foundation a sum not to exceed $120,000 for preservation of the Fourth Ward School building and to promote the history of the Comstock and Story County.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 29, discussion of possible action regarding resolution number 19-530, granting Community Chest Incorporated a sum not to exceed $244,500 for the purpose of funding health and human services program. Ms. Nevin.
Again, Sherry Nevin for the record. These funds being allocated to Community Chest are for their general programming, which involves counseling, mental health services, drug and alcohol counseling, as well as programs for the children before and after school, summer programs. This also includes the funding for the library and the funding for the Nevada Health Center's clinic that they run. So Community Chest, for all intents and purposes, is basically the social services arm of the county in addition to the senior center. We work very closely with them. I probably work on a daily basis with Community Chest in making sure that the programs that they're offering are meeting our needs, and they're always very willing to be flexible in the services that they offer here in the county, for instance, taking over the library, you know, a few years ago. So they have a nice facility, and the clinic down there, they're actually offering a telehealth option now, as well as their normal walk-in clinics. So the services that we're being offered, I think, are working out very well for us at this point.
Very good. Thank you, Sherry. Any questions for Sherry on this item?
No questions.
Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, you get a motion to approve.
I move to approve Resolution 19-530, granting Community Chest, Inc. a sum not to exceed $244,500 for health and human services programs.
You have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 30, discussion and possible action regarding resolution number 19-529, granting the Story County Jeep Posse the sum of $10,000 for the purpose of renovating the historic ice house on Toll Road in Virginia City, Nevada, and for providing financial assistance to sick and injured persons in the community in need of such financial assistance. Ms. Devin.
Again, Sharon Evan for the record. Pretty much the same story as some of the other entities here. We're granting them this money to be able to take care of the historic ice house and also, as it mentions, to provide financial assistance to persons in the community.
Good. Any questions for Sherry on this item?
No questions.
Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve Resolution 19-529, granting the Story County Jeep Posse a sum of $10,000 for the purpose of renovating the historic ice house on Toll Road in Virginia City, Nevada, and for the purpose of providing financial assistance to sick and injured persons in need of such financial assistance.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, before we go on, I think it need to be noted that of all of our nonprofits that we support financially like this, these are almost all of these buildings are county-owned, I think, except for Community Chest down there. And we get the biggest bang for our buck of any county in Nevada for what we get for dedicated volunteers and people who, you know, who give their service to the county. So I don't think we could be any more fortunate than we are.
We own the building, but we own the land.
There we go. And then, of course, that's going to conclude all of our budgeted items, I believe. So this is a nice time to give credit where credit is due for our finance team of Hugh and Jennifer and Jesse and Austin and any others that, of course, all the elected officials and department heads have to participate in this process, which is somewhat grueling, and it always starts about January the 1st each year. So our congratulations go out to everybody who participated in this. It's nice to say that we have a balanced budget this year, and it's always a good way to start the year. So thank you to everyone who's responsible for getting us where we are. Next up is item number 31, discussion of possible action, resolution 19-528, requesting the assistance of the State of Nevada Attorney General in prosecution of a criminal matter. D.A. Langer.
Well, every once in a while there's a case that needs to be transferred to the Attorney General's office just based on certain facts. As a matter of fact, since I've started this job, there's been 833 criminal cases, and this is the second time I've been before you on something that I believe is a conflict of interest based on certain factors that have taken place under the National Prosecutor Standard for standards to make sure that you administer justice in an objective way. In this particular case, it came to light that, and you're going to find that out in, I believe it's number 34, that one of the positions that's mandated by statute is the public guardian. Everybody thought we had a public guardian for years, but since we didn't need their services because we didn't need their services, it didn't come to light that we didn't have one. So in this particular situation, because of this particular case, we realized that this public guardian issue needs to be addressed. I've been working with the Carson City District Attorney's Office on the legal aspects of it. And so with that in mind, since the DA's office is working with the legal aspects of the county regarding the public guardian, which is an issue in this particular criminal case, we would ask that the AG's office take over the case at this time. Because I cannot ride two horses at one time.
You could if you're in the circus.
Well, I was thinking about that, but I'm not.
Commissioners, how many questions for the district attorney?
No questions.
You guys okay over there?
Yeah.
All right. Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve this item.
I'll move to approve resolution number 19-528.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved and second to approve resolution 19-528. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, D.A. Langer. Next up is item 32, discussion on possible action, resolution number 19-537 in support of Nevada Wildfire Awareness Month, May 2019. Fire Marshal Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Martin Azevedo, Story County Fire Marshal. We are here to propose have your support on a resolution for Wildfire Awareness Month. And as I will read to you, first I want to introduce Alyssa from where?
Hi. For the record, my name is Alyssa Tom. I am the Outreach Coordinator for the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension's Living with Fire program,
which we work very closely with throughout the year on our fire prevention. So, as this reads, wildfire significantly impacts Nevada's environment, economic, and social well-being, and residents of Nevada, fire-prone communities need to accept responsibility for living in high fire hazard areas, which we do have here in Story County. Residents must prepare to survive wildfire by ensuring proper management of vegetation surrounding the home and appropriate home construction and maintenance to resist ignition. And residents must prepare to survive wildfire by participating in evacuation from their homes and communities. Residents must prepare to survive wildfire by ensuring good access in and out of their community for emergency responders. Therefore, be it resolved that Story County Board of County Commissioners supports this resolution. Nevada Wildfire Awareness Month and this year's theme, Wildfires Happen, is your community prepared? So with that being said, to everyone and the commissioners, wildfires are devastating. We saw what happened last year regarding Paradise, California, Redding, California. I have people that I've worked with over the years that investigated those fires, that worked those fires, and they just ran through the communities because the communities were not prepared. And it is very imperative that we prepare our communities. For example, the Highlands area. You know, we get a wildfire in there, and we need to definitely prepare exits in. Getting out of there, secondary exits, being aware of fire apparatus that comes through. I can't express enough how important this is. Two of the staff at Community Development have been working very hard, going to the meetings, the Wildfire Awareness, Fire Prevention Week. They've worked. Joe Starnes being one of them. He is at a training right now to learn how to be a wildland fire investigator so he can assist me out there this year. Also, Ashley Mead, which I'd like her to stand up and be recognized. She has worked very hard on these items also. So I'd just like to say thank you to you guys for that. Any questions?
Do we still have any questions?
This presentation was so great, right?
Stellar.
Okay. Do you have anything?
Commissioners, I just want to say thank you for your consideration in this matter. And I, too, wanted to give a thanks to Ashley and Joe for their support, not only, you know, here through the month of May, but also through the whole planning process and supporting, spreading the message of wildfire preparedness. As was already mentioned, wildfire can threaten Nevadan communities and impact homes, property, and human life. We believe the key to minimizing the wildfire impact in Nevada is a proactive community that takes steps to prepare. So I brought a few tips that can help you prepare your home and community. We suggest you consider replacing wood shake or shingle roofs with a Class A fire-resistant type, such as composition metal or tile. Keep the first 5 feet from your home free of combustible materials, such as wood, mulch, dried leaves, pine needles, and flammable shrubs, such as sagebrush and juniper. Instead, plant flowers.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second because we're going to test the fire siren while you're improving your presentation.
I do think interesting timing, right?
We'll stall for about 20 seconds and let it wind back down again. If you haven't been here before, this is always at noon when they would test the siren, since it's a central siren system, before there were pagers, electrons, and handy copies. So how they would alert all the volunteers to show up at the fire department, grab a fire engine, and go to the fire.
Helps you keep time as well.
Go ahead and continue.
Okay, so instead of those flammable materials, we recommend having things like flowers, succulents, lawn, ground cover, or things like rock mulches, concrete, brick, and pavers. We also suggest you designate a safe area in your community where people can go to wait out a wildfire, such as ball fields, irrigated pastures, parks, parking lots. Pack a go bag that is easily accessible and filled with items necessary to help you quickly and safely evacuate. And if I may, I brought go bags for our commissioners and staff today.
Correct.
And also ensure that your home's address is readily visible using reflective, non-combustible material with characters being at least 4 inches high. So during the month of May and all year long, we hope that your community will prepare for wildfire. Thank you.
Any questions, commissioners? Good. Great. Thank you.
Can we get a photo of you all, too, after you?
Sure. Let's go ahead and, before we vote on this, let's see if there's any public comment regarding this resolution. Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve resolution number 19-537 in support of Nevada Wildfire Awareness Month, May 2019.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. To approve this resolution, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. You want to take about 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Let's go ahead and recess for about 10 minutes.